Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Daf Chaf Beis. We have Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Middle of the line, Kvutsoysov Taltalam. This is a pasuk in Shir Shirim. Kvutsoysov, his locks of hair, Taltalam Awevi. What does this mean? Omar Chizda, Omar Marukv. Malamid, this teaches us. Sheish Lidrash. I'll call koitz for koitz. On every koitz, koitz means literally a thorn, here means the stroke, that line that's atop the letters in the Sefer Torah. Every one of them has meaning. On every one of them, you can be doirish, tile tilim, piles and piles, layers upon layers, shel halachis, which are embedded in these strokes. The pasuk concludes, shchoyreis ka'oyrev, they're black like a raven. So what does this mean? B'miyata moitzon. Within who? Which person? Will you find this depth of Torah, which is just mentioned earlier? It is found by a person that is meisa nefesh for Torah. So shchiris will mean shachris, he gets up early for Torah, k'oirev. Oirev he'll mean arvis, he stays late to learn. One who gets up early, stays late for the sake of Torah, lebeis hamedesh. Rabba Omar, shchiris k'oirev means black like a raven, b'misha mashkir panav. Alein Ko'erev, one who blackens his face for the sake of Torah, like a black raven. So he exhausts himself, expends a great deal of energy and effort. He blackens his face for the sake of learning Torah. Rav Amar, b'mishem esem atzmei achzori, one who presents himself like a cruel person, al bonav, v'abnei vesei Ko'erev, like a raven. Chazal tell us that Hashem supplies the offspring of the Oirev, gives them the sustenance because the Oirev doesn't really take care of them. So a person is not meant to get overly preoccupied and distract himself in order to sustain his family at the expense of his commitment to Torah. Ki ha, as we see in the following story, the Rav Ada Bar Masna, Havakaz Lebei Rav, so he was going to the yeshiva, Armlei Dvisa, his wife, called out to him, Yenuki Didach, your youngsters, my Avlu, what am I going to do for them? How am I going to feed them? Amrla, so he responded, Mishlimu Kurmi Ba'agma, have the vegetables in the swamp been depleted? You can go ahead and supply them with that. So the point here is obviously that there is some form of sustenance, but one is not meant to be overly distracted and divert his attention from his commitment to Torah, and that's how he's going to be zeicha to the highest level of learning. Continues the Gemara, Mishalem l'soinov, el panav l'avida, Hashem repays his enemies, gives them their reward, el panav in front of his face, l'avidoi, in order to destroy them. Omer Rav Shimon Levi, El Malim Mikar Kosef. Not for the fact that the pasuk itself says it, Yechshel Eimrei, it wouldn't be possible to say it. Kavi Yachal, it's as though, Ka'adam Shenoisei Masu Al Panav. So as though a person who is carrying a load on his face, it's a burden, he wants to unload that burden. Umevachesh Lashlichu Menu, he would like to cast off that Masu, that burden from himself. So here as well, Hashem repays the Rishayim. It's like a burden. He wants to repay them off, pay them off what they deserve, their schar. It's like a masoi, it's like a burden that Hashem wants to unload, pay them back, and give them their schar in this world. Lo ya'acher l'soinoi. Hashem will not delay the payment for his enemies. Amar ilo l'soinov hud lo ya'acher. Indeed, Hashem doesn't delay provision of reward to his enemies. To the Rishayim, Hashem pays them back immediately in this world. Aval ya'achel tzaddikim gemurim. Hashem does delay the payment of schar for tzaddikim gemurim. Hashem waits until the right time comes, until he can give them the real, true, meaningful, eternal reward. Lost love it. V'hainu d'amar shomer levi. May d'chsev. What does the pasuk mean? Asher noichi mitzavcha hayom la'asoysim. Which I'm being mitzavah you today to do them. We learn from there hayom la'asoysim. The time to do, to fulfill Torah mitzvahs is today, in this world. However, tomorrow will be too late. It's not a time for doing any longer. Today is a time of doing. Tomorrow, that's the time to accept payment, to receive reward. So tzaddikim are heavily involved in doing Torah mitzvahs in this world, but they don't see the fruit of their labor necessarily, don't see the reward that's waiting. L'machar l'kabaschar. Amrim chagi v'yitem Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. May dechsev. What does the following pasuk mean? Erech apayim. Hashem has patience. He prolongs his anger, meaning he has patience. He doesn't express his anger immediately. Why does it say Erech Apayim, which is a plural term, Lashon Rabbi, referring to two things? Erech Af Meboile. Pasuk should have said, Hashem prolongs his anger, he delays his anger, he's patient. Ella is referring to two things, two expressions. Ella Erech Apayim LeTzadik, Hashem delays that expression of goodwill that is meant for the tzaddikim, he waits. With that, he reserves it to us and love it. Erech Apayim, and conversely, Hashem delays. The Erech Apayim, the expression of anger, of punishment, L'Rishayim, with that, he waits until the next world. But in this world, he grants them goodness as a reward for their mitzvahs. Let's take a look at Rashi, 11 lines from the top. Apayim, mashma ponim. It's an expression. Bein shoychakoyz, bein zumos. It's a facial expression. It could either mean of goodwill, of happiness. Bein zumos, of anger. Apayim shoychakoyz. The expression, the facial expression of happiness, of goodwill. Marich umachal ha-tzadikim lasalov. Hashem delays that. He waits. He doesn't express it. Tzadikim waits till lasad love it. And that angry face, marach l'rishoyim. When it comes to that, he delays for the rishoyim, u'ma'acha peronusim l'olam haba, and delays their punishment, their peronus, to l'olam haba. So it works both ways. When it comes to rishoyim, he gives them a good time in this world, but the anger Hashem reserves for the next world. When it comes to tzaddikim, it's just the opposite. Hashem gives them a hard time in this world, to cleanse them, to prepare them for the true goodness of the panim seichakos, that pleasant expression, that goodwill and schar, which they're going to receive the asad love. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Beis HaSayim. The Yehuda maintains that the maximum area that you can enclose with these boards is up until 2 sa, because he maintains that it's not considered to be a residential enclosure. So this is limited at 2 sa, like the Chatzar Mishkan, which was 150 amos, which was also a non-residential enclosure. And up until this shear, it still has that personal flavor to it. It's considered to be designated for personal use, and one can carry it throughout this area. But if it's larger than that, that resembles a large, open, unenclosed area, like a karmelis, with the rabbanon, you cannot carry through it. It says, why Yibayu, they ask the following question. When Yehuda gives us a maximum shear of 2 sa, what did he mean? Boir upasin kamar? Does he mean to include the boir, the water pit, with the pasen, the empty space from the pit till the boards? Is that what's meant to be included in the tusa? As we know, that aside from the pit itself, you must leave some space on each side. As we learned, it needs to be 2 amis to allow the animal to get in there. So when we reckon tusa, do we reckon both together? The bar with the pasen, total tusa? Wait, Dilma, perhaps, bar with light pasen kama. When you set the limit at 2 sa, you meant the size of the bar can't be larger than 2 sa. But you could include, you could add on top of that, the space next to the bar, because that's not really its own separate area. That's servicing the bar. It's a usage area for the bar. So it's bottled to the bar. It doesn't really add to the total value and area space of this enclosure. So it's the two sides of the coin. Do we include just the bar, or also the bar and the pasen are meant to be reckoned in the number? Says the Gemara. Now, what would be the basis for either approach? Says the Gemara, one side of the coin would say, well, when we speak about tusa, it's the size of the bar that we're speaking about. Adam noisin ein of a bar. Because when a person takes a look at this area, he says, well, look, how large an area is this? It's a makim shalai hukaf ladira. It's not enclosed for residential purposes. It must be up until 2 sa, kodjabuda. So what does he focus on? What does he measure? He measures the bar. Okay, let's see how large the bar is. Adam noisin ein of a bar. But look at Zrina, therefore there's no room for concern that if you allow a bit more on the side of the bar, those 2 amis, that this might lead to mistakes. Might lead to a person saying, well, look, you see, you could enclose even an area greater than 2 sa. No, he won't come to that mistake because he's going to focus on the bar. He'll realize, perhaps, that the area next to the bar, that 2 amos, is not, it's just bottled to the bar. It's there merely as a ridge to serve as the bar. But the actual area is really only two sa. Therefore, he won't come to allow enclosing an area which is greater than two sa. That's one side of the coin. So according to this approach, the bar itself can have an area space of two sa, in addition to the area next to it. V'lo gazrin. Dilma also tatula yoisim beis asayim bekafif. We're not concerned that as a result of allowing a bit more than two, so allowing that additional space next to the bar, the person may come to be metaltal in an area, in a closed area, which is greater than two, so in a karfif, which is a storage area, non-residential area. He won't come to do that because he'll say, well, this place is an enclosure of two, so look at the bar. The bar is two, so. Or perhaps, Adam Noisin Enav Mechitzasim. When a person takes a look at this area, he doesn't necessarily focus on the bar. He's not such a Talmud Chacham. He says, look, what's the total space? It's more than two sa. The bar is two sa, and you have, in addition, the area next to it. So look, you enclose even a greater area than two sa. Because, as a result of that, we're concerned. Dilma asla chlufei. This might lead to confusion. And you might go ahead and carry, as a result of this, carry in a yoysun based assign bekarfif. You might say, well, if you can enclose, in this case, an area greater than Tusa, because the bar is Tusa, plus you have the area around it. So apparently you can carry in a karfif, a storage area, a non-residential enclosure, even if it's greater than Tusa. This is more Toshma. Let's bring a raya from the following price. Kama im kuravin. How close to the bar must they place the boards, kadei roi shevru b'shal para, to allow the head and most of the body of the para inside that enclosure, which we know as being two amis. V'kamim rechokin, how far away from the bar can you position those posts? Afilu kur, afilu kuraim. Even an area as great as a kur, you can plant a kur, which is 30 self seeds, or two kur. That's okay. Because according to Rabbanan, this water is fit for human consumption. It's a makim shehukaf ledira. It's considered to be a residential enclosure without any limit of area or size. Rabbi Yudaim, based on sayim mutar. If the area contains two sa, that's okay. Yosem is a sign, but if it's larger than that, usur. He regards it as a non-residential enclosure. Amalei Rabbi Yudah, so they responded to Rabbi Yudah. Yeah, Tamoide, do you not agree? When it comes to a deer, bedir v'sar, these are types of animal corrals, pens, mukta, a backyard, v'chatzir, front yard, afilu bas chameshes kur, afilu beis chameshes kur, even if it's an area which encloses five kur, or beis aseres kur, or ten kur, shemutar, there's no concern there. So why is this different? Amar lahen, there's a big difference. Zu mechitza. The examples that you cited are examples of proper mechitzas. Elu pasen. Over here by the be'er, which is being encircled, these are merely pasen. These are incomplete, partial mechitzas, just boards with large spaces in between. It's not constructed like a residential enclosure. It does not have that halacha. So we're limited with tusa. Abshim melaz oimer. Bar beis asayim, a beis asayim mutar. If the bar is sized in the following manner, it is two sa long by two sa wide, you can go ahead and use this area. In addition to the bar itself, which is two sa by two sa, you may go ahead and be marchik those boards another little bit to allow the animal in there, which is two sa. So it's very clear that according to him, Rashi Malazar, the bar itself is Tusa, and you can add to that the space next to it for a total of a bit more than Tusa. Says the Muhammad the Ka'amar, Rashi Malazar, bar v'lay pasen, apparently, since Rashi Malazar tells us that the bar itself encompasses Tusa, in addition to the pasen, meaning you can add to that additional space alongside the bar, and there's no concern. Mechlal de Rabbi Yehuda, bar pasen ka'amar. Apparently, Shmuel Lazar is coming to disagree with somebody. It would appear that Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Shita early in the Braisa, disagrees with this concept. He holds bar pasen ka'amar. What he means is that the bar and the pasen together, the pit with the area alongside, must equal no more than two sa. So apparently, we have clarity on our question. Rabbi Yehuda maintains an entire area combined, the pit and the ridge, will total Tusa. Because otherwise, what is the point of contention, of disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel Lazar? Not necessarily so. Rabbi Yehuda bar v'lay pasen kamar. Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds, in this aspect, exactly like a Shmuel Lazar, that the bar itself, without the area next to it, equals Tusa. On top of that, you could add the space alongside the bar. Yochi, hainu, Rav Shimon Lazar. If so, Rav Yehuda's shita is exactly like Rav Shimon Lazar. How are they having a machlekes? Ika benayu. You know what the nafkaminu will be? You know what their machlekes will pertain to? Orech v'katan. Let's say the bar is long and narrow. It's 100 amas by 50. Rav Yehuda will say, that's fine. As long as the total square area doesn't exceed Tusa, which is 100 by 50. Whereas Rav Shimon Lazar, who specifically said that the Ba'ur is Beis HaSayim al Beis HaSayim, which implies that it's exactly square, he will hold that this non-residential enclosure needs to be formed as a square specifically. We're going to learn this Mezah Hashem in the next daf, Nafchav Gimel. This is based on how we learn from the Chatzar Mishkan. In any case, this will be the point of Machlekes here. But certainly, even Rabbi Yehuda can very well hold that the bar itself can encompass Tusa. In addition, you can have some space alongside the bar for the animal to come access the pit. Continues the Braisa. Klal Omar Rav Shimon Lazar. Kol Aver Shatashmish Ladir. Whenever you have an Aver, which is referring to an open, unroofed area, Shatashmish Ladir, which is serving as a residential area, a proper deer, kigoin deer, vesar, these pens, mukta, backyard, v'chatzar, chatzar front yard, afilu beis chameshas kurim, u beis aseres kurim, mutar. Even if it's a very large area, it's okay, because the mokem shahuk af ladir, it's been enclosed for the sake of living in there, has a residential halacha to it. So even if it's unroofed and open, that's okay. V'chol dira, shatashmish la'aver, and conversely, if you have a dira, a roof, a covered area. The problem here is that the designated function of this enclosure is not for residential purpose. And this Tashmish al-Avir is serving Avir, who go in Burgonishab studies, like these huts, these roofed huts sitting out in the fields, which are meant for the guards to sit in there to keep an eye on the field, which is an Avir, which is an unenclosed area, which is an open space, which is a non-residential area. So this area as well, this hut, despite the fact that it's covered, it appears like a house, it's serving a non-residential area. Therefore, it itself has that same din. Therefore, we have a limit, beis hasayim mutter, up until tusa in size, you can carry within it. Yosim beis hasayim, if it's larger than tusa, asur, you cannot carry within it, because it is not a residential enclosure, and therefore we limit it to Tusa. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, 11 lines from the bottom. Kol Aver. Aver b'she'eni mekur, even if it's an unroofed area, that's why it's called Aver. Im tashmishel diras adam. If its use is for diras adam, the knisel, it's tamid, who comes in and out constantly, so it's serving a residential purpose, then we have no limit on its size. However, v'chol dira, but if you have a place which is actually closed up, roofed with a gag, but what's the intended purpose of this hut? So somebody could sit in there and watch the avir, the field, which is right outside it. That's called a non-residential enclosure, and therefore we're limited at tusa and no larger than that. So in summary, regarding the area which is enclosed by the pasi b'rois, we're about to maintain could be as large as you want, even 10 kur. According to Shimon Lazar, the bar must be no larger than 2 sa long or 2 sa wide, needs to be square. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the bar can be 2 sa even long and narrow. Now regarding our question, whether the beis sa is describing the size of the bar itself, but you can add some more to that by adding some ridge around the bar, or perhaps the bar and the ridge around it, which is called a pasan, must total tusa. According to Shimon Lazar, it's pretty clear. The bird itself can already have tusa plus the area around it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hoya derech, v'shesura mafsakasim. So we have these posts around the be'er. What happened was, the derech v'shesuravim was intersecting, was going right through these boards. Yisal kenel et stodden. He must divert it to the side because the rabbim who are accessing through these machitzes, through these boards, are going to destroy these machitzes, going to negate the machitzes, make them bottle. They will no longer be considered shayachet. The chacham omrim ein tzarach. There's no need. He doesn't have to push the traffic to the side. According to Rabbanon, the machitzes are so powerful that they can prevail even in the face of public pedestrian traffic. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Dam Tavayim. So they both commented as follows. Kan, in this halacha, that we see that the machitza is actually stronger, superior than the rabbin walking through it. Kan hoy diachal koichan shel machitzes. Here, the Tana has informed you the strength, the power of machitzes that will prevail even in face of traffic. So it's more kan severely. Here you've been informed, and they hold of it. Meaning, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold of this concept? Does he agree with it? Kan usvirle, does he hold of it as well? That the mechitza can sustain itself in the face of traffic? We find that Rabbi Yochanan himself seems not to hold of this svar. Va'omar Rabba Barachan or Yochanan. Yerushalayim. So the city of Yerushalayim, which was surrounded by Achayma and doors, and it had the Rabbim, had 600,000 people, it was just a Rabbim. So Rabbi Yochanan told us, El Moli Del Seseya, and Olas Balayla, if not for the fact that its doors would be closed at night, so the doors were used on a regular basis, which create that proper enclosure, if not for that, Chayav and Aleh Mishim Shus Rabbim, what would be Chayav on Yerushalayim on account of Shus Rabbim, meaning it would be considered Shus Rabbim, despite the fact that it's surrounded with Mechitzes. So we see that the Rabbim negate Mechitzes. The power of the Shus Rabbim is superior, stronger than Mechitzes. Apparently Rabbi Yochanan himself does not agree with this concept that Mechitzes are stronger than the Rabbim. Ella, rather, Khan, indeed, he made this statement. Khan, over here we see this halacha, but that's the Rabbanah's opinion. I don't agree with it. Vilei Svirle, he himself, did not agree with this. He held that the Rabbim will negate the Mechitzes. Says the Gemara, we seem to have a contradiction. We have Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah tells us that the Rabbim are powerful, more powerful than the Mechitzes, whereas Rabbanah maintain the Mechitzes have the upper hand. We have a stira from where we find a brisa where it seems that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Mechitzes are stronger and the Rabbanah hold the Rabbim are stronger. V'rami to Rabbi Yehuda. Let's ask a stira, a contradiction from the Yehuda over here to Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere. V'rami to Rabbanon ad Rabbanon from the Rabbanon here and Rabbanon elsewhere. The Sanya Yosra Kenam Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda said, Misha Hoyloi Shnei Batim Mishnei Tzidur Shis Rabbim. If we have two houses, one on either side of the Shis Rabbim, so you have Mechitza on one side, Mechitza on the other. Oysi Loi Lechi Mikan V'Lechi Mikan. So in order to carry within this enclosure between these two Mechitzes, very simple, says Rabbi Yehuda, he places a Lechi on one side of the house, a Lechi Mikan, a Lechi on the other side. So for instance, you have the Rosh Hashanah, and you have the two houses, which create two Mechitzes. So in order to carry in this area, he places a Lechi here, which creates this enclosure, a Lechi here, which completes the enclosure, or a Koyer on either side. Or a Koyer Mekan, or Koyer Mekan, V'noyisev Nesem Me'emtza, and he can freely carry in the middle. So apparently, according to Rabbi Yehuda, despite the fact that there's public traffic going right through here, there's no concern, because we have mechitzes. Amar Loi, the Rabbanu responded, Ein ma'arvin shesram b'kach. We cannot allow carrying shesram in this manner. So apparently they hold, it's because the Rabbim will negate the mechitzes. So here we have Rabbi Yehuda saying the mechitzes are strong, in contrast with our Mishnah week seems to say the Rabbim are strong. Here we have the Rabbanan, who are telling us that the Rabbim are more powerful, whereas in the Mishnah they maintain the mechitzes, gain the upper hand. Kasha, the Rabbi Yehuda, we have a Kasha from one Rabbi Yehuda on the other, Kasha, the Rabbanan, ad Rabban. Says the Gemara, you know, when you really have a properly enclosed Rosh Hashayachid and properly constructed mechitzes, perhaps all agree that the mechitzes can withstand even public traffic. The question is, what constitutes a properly constructed mechitza and a properly enclosed sayachet? And that is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban. Explains the Gemara. The Rabbi Yehuda like kasha. There's no kasha from one Rabbi Yehuda on the other. Why? Depends on the situation. Hasam over there, when we have the Rosh Hashanah, which is crossing in between two buildings, which create a mechitza on either side of that street, The reason why Rabbi Yehuda considers that to be a proper Sayachit, the Ikar Shtei Mechitzes Ma'alisa, because we have two properly built Mechitzes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that makes Ursh Sayachit. He requires merely two Mechitzes. Therefore, even though there's Rabban walking there, Ursh Sayachit, which was created through two proper Mechitzes, does not become bottled through a Rabban. Hacha, as opposed to the case of the Pasi B'Rois. So although it's also Ursh Sayachit, but let's keep in mind, these mechitzes aren't complete mechitzes. You have a post on this side, a post on that corner. It's not a complete mechitza. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, the rabbim who are walking through these mechitzes will be mevatel these mechitzes. Hacha over here, leka, shtei mechitzes ma'alisa. You don't have two properly constructed mechitzes. Therefore, the rabbim can be mevatel the mechitza. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, how many mechitzes make a Rosh Sayachid? You only need two mechitzes. When it comes to resisting the public pressure, the public walkthrough, for that you need proper mechitzes. So possibilities according to Rabbi Yehuda are not proper mechitzes, and therefore cannot withstand the rabbim that are walking through it. Continues the Gemara, the rabbanon nami lekasha. Likewise, it will not be a kasha for one rabbon or the other. The rabbanon maintain, number one, what makes a sayachid? You need at least three mechitzes, three proper mechitzes, or in the case of the Pasei Berois, that's also enough because we have Sheim Dal mechitzes. We have that configuration of four mechitzes. We have four corners. That is also considered to be a proper Shesayachit. Says the Gemara, like Hashia Hocha, over here in the Pasei Berois, Ika Sheim Arba mechitzes. We have that Sheim Arba mechitzes. We have that structure of four mechitzes. Therefore, the area here is considered to be a Shesayachit. And can resist even the derech harabim that are walking through it, because it's a proper sayachit. You know why? In the case over there by the street, in between those houses, you cannot carry hasam leko shem dal mechitzes. You don't even have the shem dal mechitzes. Therefore, according to Rabbanan, it's not a sayachit to begin with. They require either three full mechitzes or at least shem dal mechitzes. So, number one, they require the amount of mechitzes that are required to make sayachit. Is either three or Shem Dal Mechitzes. Now, once you have a properly enclosed Sayachit, even if it's merely through posts which create a Shem Dal Mechitzes, Rabban maintain that Mechitzes are stronger than the Rabbim that are accessing through it. So, in summary, we have two discussions here. Number one, what makes a Sayachit to begin with? According to Rabbi Yehuda, two Mechitzes. According to Rabban, you need three. All agree. Pasei Berois work because they are Shem Dal Mechitzes. Second question, when a Rabbim are coming through mechitzes, are they mevatel the mechitzes? So generally speaking, not, if you have proper mechitzes. But if you have shem dal mechitzes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not considered to be properly constructed mechitzes, and they cannot resist the rabbim that are walking through it. Whereas the rabbanim maintain, any rosh sayachid, whether full mechitzes or even shem dal mechitzes, they can resist the rabbim, and they maintain, they hold their firm ground, even in face of the rabbim that are walking through it. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Eretz Yisrael eina chayov and aleha mishum reshus harabim. There's no chiv reshus harabim in Eretz Yisrael. Reshus harabim doesn't exist inside Eretz Yisrael. Yosef Rav Dimi v'ka'amar leil ha'shmaita. So Rav Dimi was sitting and saying over this halacha named Rav Yochanan. Amar leha bayil Rav Dimi. My timer. What is the basis of this tremendous chiddush that Eretz Yisrael does not contain any reshus harabim? Ilema is the reason mishum, because the makifla summa de tzur, because the summa, this tall mountain, steep mountain of tzur, surrounds Eretz Yisrael. It's close to Eretz Yisrael on its north side. The makifla summa de tzur machisa. So summa de tzur is makifla, means that it surrounds it or it's next to it, machisa, on the north side. That creates a machisa. Umachtana de Goder Machisa. And you have the steep canyon of Goder on the other side, on the east side. And both these are considered to be Machitzes, and they meet together like an L. Perhaps they create a Shesayachit in between them. And therefore the entire Yisrael is considered a Shesayachit. Is that the reason? If that's the case, says Abai, Babel Nami. So why strictly Eretz Yisrael? Babel also has a similar phenomenon. Makifla Pras Machisa. We have the river Pras on one side, which has a riverbed which is steep and as a mechitza. V'diglas mehagisa. On the other side, you have the river Diglas, which has that riverbed which is a steep mechitza. So Bavel is also not a Rosh Hashanah. And if that's the case, the Kol Yalma Navi, the whole world also, Makivik Yainis. We have the huge ocean, Atlantic, Pacific, which have sea walls, and I consider the Rechitza. So the entire world cannot have Rosh Hashanah. Is that the case? Sounds pretty surprising. So Abayi says, perhaps I can suggest that Rav Yechon didn't mean the entire Tzisrael. Dilma, perhaps, Malus Umordis Karmis. You mean to say that the Malus, the steep hills, Umordis, the steep downhill, which are not conveniently accessed areas, Karmis, perhaps that's what you're speaking about. The hills and the valleys. That's not considered Shisarabim because it's not a convenient passageway. So this was Abaye's suggestion. Amalei, Rav Dimi responded, yes indeed. Karkafna literally means Bala Golgoyles, Rashi says, the one of the skull. It means a Lashon Choshev. It's a term which denotes importance. Chazite l'reishach be'amudi. I noticed your head between the beams of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yechonon. Ki Om Rabbi Yechonon Shmaita. When Rabbi Yechonon said this halacha, meaning it sounds like you were there, that you were able to get down to the bottom of this statement and clarify it. Because indeed, this is the true meaning of Rabbi Yechonon's halacha. He didn't mean the entire Yisrael. He meant those steep hills, due to the fact they don't really present a convenient passageway. Itmar Nami, we learned likewise, Gosa Ravin, when Ravin came, indeed, Amar Rabbi Yechonon, he said this thing in the name of Rabbi Yechonon. I mean, some say, Oz Amar Avon Rabbi Yechonon, that Malus and Mordis is right to Yisrael. The steep hills and inclines of Eretz Yisrael, Ein Chayav and Aleim, Shem Shasarabim, they're exempt from Shasarabim, Lefish, Ein Kedigle Midbar, because they don't resemble the encampment of the Midbar, which serves as the source of the Halachas of Shabbos. And since the Shasarabim there was comprised of flat ground, which provides easy and convenient passage, likewise, the Shasarabim also needs to conform to that configuration. Let's take a look at Rashi, four lines from the top. Malus umarda shabuka amris. This is what Abaye is saying. Perhaps he's speaking about the steep hills and inclines. Shein chayam alei mishum shesurab. Why? Dlenicha drisa detu. It's not easy to walk on them. V'lei havei shesurab. Rav Dimi responded, karkafna bala gulgoyt kolaymar. Odom choshe, a prominent person, amudei, shabbe samadal shab yechnon. You were there when he said this. You were able to clarify it exactly the way it was said. And the reason is, She'enu kedigle midbar, it doesn't resemble the encampment in the midbar. The Eretz Chaloka, it was smooth ground. She'anon mashwa, Yisan. Rashi brings that the Chazal tell us that the Anon, Amud Anon, the cloud would straighten out, smooth out the land, the ground where they traveled. So the Shisram provided easy and convenient access. Likewise, the Shisram elsewhere is only considered to be free, unrestricted area, easy to walk on. Only that is just Rabim. But when we have these malus and mordors, these steep hills and valleys and inclines, they don't provide convenient passageway, and therefore they're not considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. At this point in the Gemara, it seems like it's not specific to Eretz Yisrael, but he merely cited Eretz Yisrael because it's typical that in Eretz Yisrael we find these malus and mordors, which are too steep to be considered Rishus HaRabim. Continues the Gemara, Boimnei Rochava Mirav. So here's the following question of Rava. Tell, if you have a hill, a mound, a tall mound, Hamislakit, Asora Metoch Arba. If you have this tail in Rosh Hashanah, which rises steeply, it rises 10 Tfachim, Mislakit Asora, Metoch Arba, within 4 Amis. So if you're walking up this hill, once you reach 4 Amis, you've already risen, already gone up, climbed 10 Tfachim, which is considered to be a steep incline, and it's considered to be actually a mechitza in Rosh Hashanah. So ordinarily, we consider this a Rosh Hashanah on top of this hill. Now what happens if there are rabim that are actually boikim boy, rabim boikim boy, they're using this area, they're going right through it. Either they're going up the hill or crossing over it. In any case, it's not a separated area. It's actually part of the access route of the public. Does that change the status? Does that make it a Shisarab? Chayov and Olav Mishisarab? Or Ein Chayov and Olav? Do we regard it as a Shisarab or not? Does the fact that the public are trespassing through this area changed halacha or not? Explains the Gemara. I'll leave it to Rabban like to Boilach. Now, according to the Rabban who maintained that the Mechitza can resist the Rabbim, even the Pasi Berois can resist the fact that the pedestrians are accessing through them, they maintain their Shteyachat status, there's no question. Of course, certainly in this case, this Tehel HaMaslachet will still retain its Shteyachat status. Why? Hashta. Now, Umar Hasam, the Nichat HaShmishtei, certainly over there by the Pasi Berois, which is a flat area, the Nichat HaShmishtei, it's use, Tashmishtei, it's use, is Nicha, it's a convenient use. Amar Rabban, nevertheless, Rabban maintained, Lo Yosu Rabbim, Mevatel Lo Mechitza, Rabban doesn't have the ability, the Rabbim don't have the ability to Mevatel those Mechitzes. Despite the fact, it's easy to walk through. Hacha, certainly in this case, Lo Nicha Tashmishtei, its use is not convenient. Going up this steep mound, Rabban, it's not a convenient walkthrough. Certainly, of course, like Koshkin, of course, Rabban would maintain that Rabban don't have the ability to turn this into a public access route into a Dinam Shis Rabban. There's no question, but the Rabbanon, this retains its Shishachat status. Kiti Boilach, I'll leave it to Abiyuda. The question will apply according to Abiyuda, who says that when we have the Rabban who are accessing through the Pasi Berois, since it's not really a properly constructed Mechitza, it's not really a fully enclosed area, he maintains the Rabbim have the ability to move out those mechitzes. So the question will be, does Rabbi Yehuda maintain that halacha in this case as well or not? Ki tibolach li Rabbi Yehuda, might. What is halacha? Awesome over there by the Pasi Berois, who the nichat hashmishtei. Since it provides a convenient access route, it's flat ground, perhaps that turns into Rishus Rabbim. As opposed to our case, hacha over here, who the nichat hashmishtei. Since it does not provide easy access, lo yasu rabim matam chitzasa, the rabim will not have the ability to turn this into a shisa rabim to be matam chitzasa. Adil malish, no, perhaps, there's no reason to differentiate. Fact is, the rabim are walking through it, it's not really a properly enclosed area, they can turn this into a shisa rabim. Omerlei, so Rabba responded, chayovin, yes, there are chayiv, meaning we treat this as a shisa rabim. According to Rabbi Rechava continued asking, even if it's such a steep incline that you have to climb up with a rope, wrap up with a rope, is that also considered to be a Rishus Rabbim due to the fact that the Rabbim happened to be walking through it? It's such an inconvenient route. Amar Leis, Rabbi responded, in yes, even in this case. Even if it's such a steep incline, it's now a passageway of Mali's Beis Maran where one person had a time could only walk through there. Such a steep, narrow area. Is that also considered a Rishus Rabbim due to the fact that the public are accessing this route? Amalei Rabbi responded, yes, in. Certainly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it turns into a Rishus Rabbim, they are mavatal the mechitzes. Eisvei, so Rechava asked the Makasha from the halacha where it seems that this is not the case. When even when we have the Rabbim coming through this area, if it's not a convenient route, they don't turn it into a Rishus Rabbim. Chotzer, Sharabim, we have a courtyard, an enclosed area, which features many entranceways, and the Rabbim are walking in and out of the area. What is the halacha of this chatzar? So number one, Rishus Rabbim l'tumah. When it comes to tumah, this is a suffix where the one becomes tumah. We know that if this happens in a public area, in Rishus Rabbim, we say the suffix is tahir. Now, the determination of Rishus Rabbim that pertaining to tumah is different than Shabbos. Tumah depends on whether it's a private area or public area. This chatzar, although it's fully enclosed, has mechitzas all around. When it comes to tumah, it's a public area, therefore it has a din of Rishus Rabbim for tumah. That's number one. When it comes to Shabbos, it's an entirely different story. Or Rishus Hayachad of Shabbos. Since it's an enclosed area, it has a din of Rishus Hayachad. Despite the fact, it's being accessed by the public. So, Mani, whose opinion, whose shita has been reflected in this price? Ilaim Rabban, shall we say it's the Rabbanon? That hold, generally speaking, the Rabbim don't have the ability to mevatel mechitza. Says, well, it can't be it's the Rabbanon. There wouldn't be a chiddush here. Hashta now, umahosam denichat hashmishtei. Certainly in the case of the Pasi Berois where it presents a convenient walkthrough, denichat hashmishtei, still and all, ami Rabbanon lo yosu rabim mevatel mechitza. The Rabbanon maintained the Rabbim can't break the mechitza. Hach, in our case, lo nichat hashmishtei, its use is not easy and convenient. Rashi says there are some gidudim on the floor. There are some structural remnants at the entranceway, so it doesn't provide easy access. Lekoshkein, certainly, of course. In this case, the rabbi will not have the ability to negate those mechitzes. There's no reason for the braisa to give us this halacha. It's so pashut. It's self-evident from the halacha of our Mishnah. Ela Rabbi Yehudi, apparently this braisa is reflecting Rabbi Yehudi's shit and telling us that Rabbi Yehuda only holds that the rabbi can be mevatel mechitzah when it's easy access. But when it's an inconvenient route, such as in this case of the chatzar, they will not negate the mechitzes. Says more loy, lo'olam rabbanon, certainly the braisa is rabbanon. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the rabbi will be mevatel mechitzes even in this case. What's the chiddush? What's the point of the braisa? Which is rabbi l'tumah tzrichalei. The point of the braisa is to teach us this chiddush. Now when it comes to tumah, we regard it as a rabbi because it's a public area. Despite the fact that when it comes to Shabbos, it is a Rosh Hashanah. So this contrast between Shabbos and Tumah, that's the point of the braisa. But certainly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbim can not be mevatel, perhaps Rabbim can be mevatel mechitza, even when it's an inconvenient passageway. Toshma, let's bring a raya from the next halach. It's a Mishnah which says, Mavoyes hamafaloshes. If we have these open-ended alleyways, meaning a mechitza on either side, but it is stretching from one Rosh Hashanah to the other, so it only has two mechitzas. Mavoyes hamafaloshes, bibboros, if they're in a pit, ubesicha, in these long and narrow pits, ubmaorois, inside the cave, Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah l'tumah. So when it comes to tumah, it's a public area, it's Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Shabbos, it's considered to be fully enclosed, and is Rosh Hashanah. Says Gemara, what do you mean mavoyes hamafaloshes, bibboros? Bibboros hakadaita, can you think we have an alleyway inside a pit? Ella rather, libars. The Mishnah means that we have the alleyways which are open to the burrs. Meaning we have a case where we have a wall on either side, with an alleyway in between, stretching from one Rosh Ram on one side to Rosh Ram on the other side. And at the end of that alleyway, we have a burr, a pit in the ground, which is considered to be a mechitza, 10 tefachim deep. And that blocks off, so to speak, the mavi from Rosh Ram. It creates an enclosure on three sides. Now, there's still some access from the Mavi to Rosh Hashanah, even on the Bur side, because there's still some space. There's a ridge on the side of the Bur, which allows one to walk through, although it's not so safe there, so it's made for the strong and brave. But technically, you can walk through it. So that's the case here. We have the Mavi, which is Mefulosh, to the Bur. And the Mishnah says, Rosh Hashanah l'Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah l'Tumah. When it comes to Tumah, this Mavi is a publicly accessed area. It's considered Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Shabbos, we regard this Mavi as an enclosed Mavi, because it's considered to be surrounded on Mechitzes on three sides. Despite the fact that people can get through that Mechitza of the Bur. Says Ramani, whose shita is being represented in this Mishnah? Ilei Rabbanan, shall we say it's the Rabbanan? And the Mishnah is telling us, despite the fact that there are Rabbim coming through this Mavi, going from one Shisram to the other, it still holds its own ground, it retains its Rosh Yachad status. There's no need for us to tell us that according to Rabbanan, that is the Halacha. Why? Hashta, now, certainly, when it comes to the Pasei Berois, where it's providing an easy, convenient access route. It's on flat ground, it's safe and sound, there's no reason to hesitate walking through those Pasei Berois. Nevertheless, Rabbanan tell us, Amri loy osu rabim vatlo. The rabbim have no ability to vatlo those mechitzes. Mechitzes hold firm ground. Mechitzes are stronger than public traffic. Hacha. Certainly in this case, loy nichat hashmishte doesn't provide convenient use and access. Walking beside that bar is not meant for your tender-hearted person. So it's not nichat hashmishte. Loy koshkein. Certainly, of course, in this case, the Rabbim's access will not affect a negation on the mechitzes. Of course, the mechitzes will hold their own, and it will be considered proper shayach. There's no need for us to even talk about it. Elav Rabbi Yehudi, apparently, this mission is reflecting Rabbi Yehuda's shita, and teaching us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it doesn't provide an easy, convenient passageway for the Rabbim, they are not going to be mevatel the mechitza. Says Rabbi, loy l'Rabbanim, perhaps this mission is Rabbanim. What is the chiddush here? The Mishnah is simply coming to inform us, despite the fact that when it comes to Shabbos, which works with the concept of machitzas, it's considered shayachid. When it comes to tumah, we work with whether or not this place is a private area. And therefore, this mavet, since it's publicly accessed, is considered to be a shirabim for tumah. But perhaps according to Rabbi Yehuda, the rabbim will be mavatal the machitza in accordance with what Rabbi told us. Toshma, we have another raya, shvile biz gilgol v'yotzben. We have these steep paths called shvile biz gilgol v'yotzben, or something which is similar to that. Rosh Hashayachad v'Shabbos, shiram l'tum. When it comes to Shabbos, it's Rosh Hashayachad, because it's too steep to be considered a shirabim. When it comes to tumah, it's a publicly accessed area. It's not a private area, therefore, if one has a suffix tumah, he's tar. Ve'ezo shvile beis gilgul, what is an example? What determines this type of shvile beis gilgul? What is it? Amri de Rabbi Yanai. Kol sheina evet, yochal litol so. If it's so steep that the servant doesn't have the ability to hold on to this measure of so shel chitin, ve'yoris lefnei sardiyot, to take it and run before his master, for his boss, it's too steep for that. That is not considered to be any longer rishus ha-rabim, rather regarded as rishus ha-yachad. Says Ramani, whose shita is being discussed here? Ilim rabbanon. How can you say it's rabbanon? Hashta. Umasam nichatash mishta. Certainly, if we find when it comes to the pasuk berurah, where it's an easy access route for the rabbim, am rabbanon leosu rabbim atlechem chitzasa. The rabbim don't have the ability to matam mechitzes. Hach, in this case, la nichatash mishta. It's not a convenient access route. It's a steep hill. It's a steep path. Like Koshkin, certainly, of course, the Rabbanon, the Rabbim, despite the fact that they're using this path, will not turn into Shis Rabbim, according to the Shittas Rabbanon. There's no need to even discuss it. El Lav Rabbi Yehuda, apparently this Mishnah, this Halacha, is following Shittas Rabbi Yehuda and telling us that a place which doesn't provide easy, convenient access for the Rabbim is not considered to be Shis Rabbim. So Zariah against Rabbim. Amalei, so Rabbi responded, this is different. Shvile beis gilgul ka'amris. Are you speaking about this steep shvilim, these pathways called beis gilgul, which is in Eretz Yisrael? Yeshua oiv Yisrael hoya. I'll tell you why it's not Eretz Yisrael, because Yeshua was oiv Yisrael. Omad v'tikin lehem d'rochem v'sratim. So when he divided Eretz Yisrael, he went ahead and established roadways and highways. Kol heichad nichat hashmishta masal rabim. Any place where the area provided easy, convenient access for the public, he handed it over to the public to be used for Shis Rabbim. Whenever we have a road which is not a convenient access route, such as these Shvileis Beis Gilgul, which are steep and hard to access, these roads were not given over to the Rabbim. He handed it over to the Yachad individual. It does not have a din of Shis Rabbim. This is specific in Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua established the roadway. So roadway, which was a convenient roadway, he gave it to the Rabbim. But something was inconvenient, so that Shvile beis Gilgul, he gave it over to the Yachid, and therefore, it doesn't have a din of Yeshua as a Rabbim. But generally speaking, outside Eretz Yisrael, even an area which is not conveniently accessed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, certainly the Rabbim will be involved in the Mechitzes and turn it into Yeshua as a Rabbim. So in summary, we discussed what makes Yeshua as a Yachid. According to the Chachamim, three mechitzes, or the pasuk berurah, which provides shame dalat mechitzes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you only need two mechitzes, or the pasuk berurah, which provides shame dalat mechitzes. Now, what if we have the derech harabim, which is intersecting through these mechitzes? According to the Chachamim, the rabim don't have the ability to mevatel mechitzes, period. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it depends what type of mechitzes we're speaking about. If we have two properly constructed mechitzes, complete mechitzes, certainly the rabim will not have the ability to be mevatel that. But if we only have partial mechitzes, such as the pasuk berurah, which only present themselves as shame dal mechitzes, you have that configuration of four mechitzes, you have four corners, that's not properly constructed mechitzes, those aren't complete mechitzes, and the rabbim have the ability to be mevatel those mechitzes. Rabbi concluded for us, even in the case where it's loinichat hashmishtei, when the public doesn't really have a convenient access route through these mechitzes, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they are going to be mevatel those mechitzes. The Gemara concluded that all agree, when we have these steep passageways in Eretz Yisrael, those Shvilei Beis Gilgal, those are certainly considered to be Rishas HaYachid because Yeshua gave it to the Yachid rather than to the Rav. And now based on this, it would seem very clear that when Rav Yechon told us earlier that those steep hills in Eretz Yisrael are not considered Sarabim, he was referring specifically to Eretz Yisrael, and based on this very reason. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began discussing the schos that a person merits when he is moitzeh nefesh v'torah. We learned that Hashem provides the payment for the mitzvahs to Rishonim in this world, but for tzaddikim, it is reserved for the next world. Hayom la'asoysam u'machar l'kabos charen. Now, what is the size of the enclosure within the pasi barois? We have a machlekes. According to Rabbanan, it could be as large as you want. According to Shmuel Lazar, the bar itself needs to be 2 sa by 2 sa, has to be square, and you can add to that the space next to the bar and surround the entire area with the pasim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the bar itself needs to be 2 sa, and even if it's long and narrow, it's okay. Now, when we speak about 2 sa, are we including an area beside the bar? So altogether, it needs to total no more than 2 sa, or perhaps the bar itself can equal Beis HaSayim, and you can also add to that the space next to the bar, and we leave it unresolved. We concluded regarding what makes Rosh HaSayachat. According to Rabbi Yehuda, 2 mechitzes. According to Rabbanan, 3 mechitzes. According to Chachamim, the Rav never have the ability to be a vatal mechitzes of Rosh HaSayachat. According to Rabbi Yehuda, sometimes they do.